For almost 50 years, Leonard Cohen's mournful ballads of desire, heartbreak and lost faith have captivated audiences all over the world, continuing to make music until weeks before his death. In November 2016, the award-winning Canadian songwriter, novelist and poet is revealed as a cultural icon. Mike Evans chronicles Leonard Cohen's extraordinary career in detail, placing his literary and musical achievements within the context of his life. It's in this great book called Leonard Cohen, an illustrated record. Delighted to be joining me live on the line. Mike Evans. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
I mean, there really was nobody like Leonard Cohen, was there? I mean, he really was a one-off.
Yeah, he certainly was, because he came at a time when rock music was progressing at a fast rate, and suddenly there was this guy who just lived as a poet to past the age of 30 into that sort of frame of the rock world, and against all odds, he actually became a superstar.
I mean, you say in the introduction or the beginning of the book, you say he like in his art, in his music, as in his life, he used the road less travelled, and he really came out of, as we say today, out of left field. I mean, nobody had really heard of him.
No, that's right. John Hammond, who took him up at Columbia Records, made the same kind of taken the same kind of bet on Bob Dylan. About 8 years before, and the guys at the record company then thought he was mad, and of course Dylan proved Hammond right, and again Cohen did. They thought taking up this 30-odd-year-old Canadian fairly successful poet, as I say, in that whole total rock environment in the late 60s, was considered a risk, to say the least. But you know, it was a risk they took.
And if you like, it's a bit of foresight, because after they signed him, the birth of the singer-songwriter came. You had all people like Joni Mitchell and James Taylor, and people writing those sort of songs, and Cohen's predates them.
Well, that's right. The sort of singer-songwriter thing came in sort of at the very, very end of the 60s, kind of 69, 70. Cohen's first album was out at the end of 67, and so he, in a way, he was a kind of marker for that. Dylan had already moved away from being a folk singer, quote unquote, to a rock singer in a kind of totally rock environment, and the singer songwriter had yet to be born as a genre, and Cohen really led the way.
And how did Cohen adapt to his newfound fame? And did fame come pretty quickly? I know there's quotes in the book with him saying, "I'm glad I found it later in life than earlier."
That's right. Well, he was, curiously, he started to find fame in Europe and the UK before he did in the States, or even in his native Canada. He was known in Canada in literary circles, as I say, as a poet, but as a musical star, he never made it in North America till much later on, and his first half dozen albums really only cut through in on this side of the Atlantic.
But I mean, it's if you look at the body of work, it's a phenomenal amount. I mean, you chronicled all of them in here with wonderful pictures as well. But there's a huge body of albums recorded, and the live albums as well. So he was never he never took time off, did he?
Well, no. I mean, he took time off in the sense that if you look at the kind of chronology of it, there was sometimes 4 or 5 years between an album. hence the record company were often putting out live albums to fill the gap. So he did take time off from music in that sense. But on the other hand, given his career from 67 to right up to his death when he was in his 80s, as you say, there was an immense amount of work put out.
So why did you decide the time was right to put all this, to put the albums and the photographs together in this book? Why did you think that the time was right now?
Well, curiously, the publisher, Plexus, approached me about a book about Leonard Cohen. And we thought the idea would be to do a book which was really, the chapters were the albums. So the albums were the markers. They were the milestones through his life, his musical life. And we hooked the biography around that rather than the straight biography, of which there have been several good biographies already. So there's no point in doing it like that. And so we did it. The hook was the album. So there's quite a musical angle to it. And when we first talked about it, I thought, well, that's quite interesting, and sort of thought about it, and then coincidentally and sadly, Cohen died while we were still planning it. So it wasn't a opportunity on his death. We'd already kind of been discussing it and making early plans for it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you set the chapters of the albums in the context of his life as well. How were you a big Cohen fan before you started this book, or did he sort of grow you as you went through?
The latter, I was obviously familiar with a lot of his work and liked it, but I wasn't like a huge collector of every album or anything like that. But the publisher approached me because we'd worked before and said, well, would you be interested? And so we thought about it and talked it through, and actually in that process I got to know made myself familiar with a lot more of his work and realized that the depth of that, particularly the sort of poetic side of it, was absolutely sensational, you know. And obviously his death focused minds, and he was in the media and all that, and it just evolved, yeah.
And I mean, one of the things that I like about the book is if you like the pre-story. There's some great photographs of him in Hydra, you know, in Greece. And
yeah.
If you're of a certain age, you always think of Cohen as this you know, guy in a hat, very somber, singing mournful songs. And to see him in the bright sunshine, you know, sitting in a taverna or playing guitar, it seems quite a culture shock.
Well, that's right. His life in his making albums. His life in his 20s, after, if you like, post-student life, was very very romantic and very adventurous. He bought this island in Greece. He lived in a house with no electricity and no gas and no TV. And in fact, there was no TV on the island. So it was quite a kind of remote bohemian existence. And he went to Cuba when the revolution was just happened, and he led this kind of adventurous kind of renegade kind of life, which was quite at odds, as you say, with the sort of rather sober-looking guy in the trilby that came on stage in later life and sang these very highly personal songs. And there are photos there of him on Hydra when playing guitar and sitting on the beach and, you know, late night parties on the beach and that kind of thing. And it was this very sort of youthful adventure that went on for 10 years of his life.
I mean, you talk about, you know, his personal life. I mean, he, you know, as all poets do, because you kind of, Cohen is a poet stroke songwriter stroke icon. I mean, he you know, really did put his heart on his sleeve, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the songs, I mean, some of his most famous songs, obviously, So Long, Marianne, Suzanne, they were actually named for, well, Suzanne wasn't as it happened, but they were named for women he knew. Suzanne wasn't named for his future partner, Suzanne Elrod, but it was named for Suzanne, who was a wife or a friend of his, and various of these songs were dedicated very closely to people he was involved with, and of course some of them were involved very much in his work as well. And Johnny Thomas, the musician, and Dominic Eastman, the photographer, she worked with him on some of his images and his records and things. And so these people were involved with him professionally sometimes, and certainly emotionally.
Did you speak to people who worked with him as well to get an impression of what he was like in the studio and on the road?
No, I didn't, apart from a few musical contacts I have who just had actually worked with him, you know, a couple of people who'd appeared on the Isle of Wight with him and things like that.
But what was his view, do you think, of his enduring longevity? Do you think he sort of, you know, had a sort of, a sardonic smile about the whole thing? Because he didn't change. I mean, he kept his look throughout his career, especially his latter career, as the world sort of came to him.
That's right. And, I mean, it never ceased to amaze people at the age of 80, he was still bringing out albums and doing live tours. That's the most incredible thing of the lot. I mean, I think if I had to name a favourite album, it wouldn't be, even though they're wonderful albums, it's classics like Songs from the Room, Various Positions, Songs of Leonard Cohen, of course, the debut album. They're wonderful albums, but I think if I had to pick one to go go on the old desert island with. It'd be Live in Dublin, which kind of had all those songs on it in a late in life setting with this amazing band, amazing backing singers, and of course all the great songs. And Live in Dublin, I think if anybody wanted one record of Leonard Cohen, particularly late in life, that'd be the one. It's amazing.
And it's, you know, the book is called Leonard Cohen, an illustrated record. You had some input in the photographs. Did you trawl through yourself? I mean, how did you get these fabulous images of the man himself?
Well, like all books of this kind, you have a picture researcher who does all the boring stuff, clearing the rights and paying for the pictures and so on. But yes, what I did, which I've done with several books I've written about musical subjects, is that as I'm writing the book, I make a note of must-have images. You know, here he is at the Isle of Wight, or here he is in Hydra, or here he is, and make these references, and that goes to a picture researcher who does his or her best to pin that down. You know, and then we look at all the pictures we've, if you like, got to choose from for a particular page, and which I'm part of that process as well, and hopefully it comes out the other end looking looking as you want it.
Yeah. Well, it looks absolutely superb. Listening to his music again, was there any sort of undiscovered character that you might have sort of overlooked the first time around, and you suddenly thought, you know, this is a bit of a gem? Is there anything in, you know, listening to all his album, his substantial body of work, that perhaps, you know, we should be listening to again?
There is little songs that I'd sort of either not heard or forgotten about. There's a great one called Almost Like the Blues, which is on Popular Problems. Is I think it was 2014. It's just where he never tried to sing the blues. Now a great blues fan, but he did a couple of tracks on that, particularly Almost Like the Blues, which actually used that structure to great effect. But it wasn't a blues song about I lost my baby. It was actually referring to the Holocaust, of all things. But so it was that juxtaposition of this very emotive form that we're all familiar with, and which wasn't really part of his kind of oeuvre, and the subject matter, which is absolutely shocking and mind-blowing, you know, and he married the two. Fantastic. Almost Like the Blues, it's called. Worth digging out.
Looking back through his work, if you've got anybody out there who isn't familiar with his work, what would you suggest as an, you know, Leonard Cohen 101? What should they be listening to first to get an idea of, you know, how great the man was?
Well, as I say, I think the best cross section is Live in Dublin. If it was a single album, I guess the debut album, really, because there was so much, there was So Long, Marianne, Sisters of Mercy, Suzanne, there was so much on it that became his standard, that even though that was his first album in 67, or the follow-up, Songs from a Room, Bird on a Wire, songs like that, they were such a, they became his classics from those very first couple of albums. I think an introduction to his work could be one of those, or, as I say, the old Dublin live set.
And what do you think that Cohen's legacy is then, after his, you know, after his death? What do you think he's brought to music, poetry, culture in general?
Just himself. I think he would have been the first to say that. You know, he brought Leonard Cohen to the world, in the sense that it's his poetry, it's his music, quite unique. You know, he didn't invent any new kind of music, or he didn't invent any new kind of writing, but he just did it with Leonard Cohen stamped all over it.
The book is called Leonard Cohen, an illustrated record. It's out now on Plexus Publishing. I believe it's by Mike Evans. Mike, if people want to find out more about you or by the book, or about the book even, where can they go? Is there a website?
There's a website for Plexus, not for the book as such. If people go to plexusbooks.com, that would take them onto blogs and all sorts of things.
And only question remains, what are you up to next? Who's next in your sights? Are you going to do another one?
I'm toying with the Dylan book in this kind of form, but there's been so much about Dylan that I guess I probably it would need a lot of thought. Personally, I'm writing a memoir, which is just about my own adventures in the music world.
which are quite something.
So, you know, it goes back a few years. as I say, I'm at a pretty loose end at the moment, living here in southwest France. So I'm working on a memoir and toying with a few ideas. Like all these things in publishing, you can't say too much about your next idea.
Fair enough. The book is called Leonard Cohen, an illustrated record. It's out now. It's by Mike Evans. Mike, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Pleasure.